Hey everyone, and welcome back to the Deep Dive, where we take a deep dive into some of the most interesting topics out there in the world of data and AI.
And today we're diving headfirst into the world of vector databases.
Vector databases, exactly. And you know, this is a topic that's been generating a lot of buzz lately, especially if you're following, you know, all the developments in AI.
It's really changing the game.
It really is.
Yeah.
And, you know, we've got a whole stack of research papers and tech guides, even a YouTube presentation all about this. So we're going to try to break it down and see if we can understand, I don't know, the secrets of how AI actually thinks. Does that sound about right?
Sounds like a plan.
Okay, so let's start with the basics. When we say vector database, what are we actually talking about here?
Okay, so imagine a library, right? But instead of books, it's filled with these things called vectors. And these vectors, they're basically, how do I put this? They're like mathematical representations of data, of anything really. Text, images, audio, whatever an AI needs to make sense of the world.
Oh, okay. So it's like translating the real world into a language that AI can understand.
Exactly. And that's how AI starts to think, or at least how we can, you know, simulate thinking in a computer. It compares these vectors to see what's similar, to find patterns, to make connections.
That's pretty cool. You know, it's like those, you might also like recommendations on Spotify or Netflix. Is that kind of vector similarity in action?
It is. That's a great example. It's the same principle, just applied to different types of data.
Oh, wow. Okay, so I think I'm starting to get a handle on the whole vector thing. But why are vector databases suddenly so important? What's driving all the hype?
Well, it's all tied to this, I guess you could call it, explosion of generative AI. And those, you know, those large language models like ChatGPT, they're pretty amazing at generating text, right? But there's a catch. They can sometimes make stuff up. They call it hallucinating.
Oh, yeah, I've heard about that. So, like, ChatGPT might confidently tell me that the Bank of England has, like, 88 million customers or something, even though that's completely wrong.
That's it. Exactly. They lack real-world context. And that's where vector databases come in, you see. They act like this knowledge base, a foundation of facts. They keep the AI grounded so it doesn't, you know, wander off into fantasy land.
Oh, that makes a lot of sense. So they're like AI's fact checkers.
Yeah.
Keeping it real.
You got it. And the really cool part is how these two things work together, the language model and the vector database. It's called retrieval augmented generation, or RG for short.
RG. Okay, I like it. It sounds kind of superhero-ish. Can you give me a real-world example of how RG is being used?
Sure. Imagine you're working at, I don't know, let's say a software company, right? And you have this AI assistant that can answer questions about your internal processes. With R, this AI can actually search through all your company documentation, which is stored as vectors, and give you a precise answer. No more guessing games.
Wow, that's incredible. It's like having a super-powered search engine that actually understands what you're asking for.
That's a good way to put it. It's about making AI more reliable, trustworthy, you know, which is super important for businesses, for developers, really for everyone.
Okay, so we've got this powerful duo, large language models and vector databases working together through RA. Now, I'm curious about the actual players in the vector database game. Our research mentioned a few big names, Pinecone, QGrant, Chroma, DeepLake, and Milvus. What can you tell us about these?
Well, they each have their strengths and weaknesses. Like Pinecone, for example, it's known for being super fast and it can handle like massive amounts of data. It scales really well.
So if you're working with like huge data sets, Pinecone is the one to go for.
It's definitely a strong contender. Then you've got QGrant, which is known for its flexibility. You can, you know, really fine tune it to fit your specific needs.
I'm sensing a but coming. What's the trade-off there?
Well, that flexibility can mean, you know, a bit of a learning curve. It's not quite as plug-and-play as Pinecone, a bit more hands-on.
Got it. So it's for the tinkerers, the ones who like to get under the hood and tweak things.
Exactly. And then we have Chroma. It's making a big splash in the open-source community. You know, it's designed to work really well with those large language models.
Ah, so it's the go-to option for developers who are into open source.
Yeah, pretty much. And then there's DeepLake, which is kind of unique because it can handle not just vectors, but also other types of data, images, audio, video, the whole shebang.
Oh, wow. So DeepLake is the one for those working with multimedia, the more creative applications of AI.
Exactly. And lastly, you've got Milvus, which has been around for a while. It's got a solid reputation for being, you know, reliable and robust.
So it's the dependable workhorse of the vector database world.
You could say that.
Okay, so lots of options, each with its own pros and cons. I'm guessing choosing the right one really depends on the specific project and what you're trying to achieve with AI.
Absolutely. It's all about finding the right tool for the job. There's no one size fits all.
But before we dive too deep into the technical weeds, I'm really curious about the real-world impact of all this. What are some examples of how vector databases are already making a difference out there?
Oh, there are some impressive examples. You know that YouTube presentation you mentioned? Pinecone talks about how Volvo is using RG to make sure their AI doesn't give, dangerous advice about like turning off safety features in their cars.
Wait, RG is preventing AI from going rogue and putting people at risk. That's straight out of a sci-fi movie.
It really is. And it just shows how important it is to have that grounding and accurate information. In this case, it could literally be a matter of life or death.
No kidding. I also remember that research paper about a chatbot that was built using vector databases to answer like complex technical questions from students.
Right, that's a great example of how this technology can totally change how we learn. Students can get instant answers, accurate answers, and it just makes the whole process more efficient and engaging.
It's like having a personal tutor that's available 24/7 and never gets tired of your questions.
Exactly, and this is just the beginning. Vector databases are being used to build smart apps, streamline business processes, even create these semantic search engines that can actually understand the meaning behind what you're searching for.
Wow, so this technology is quietly powering so much of the cool AI stuff we're seeing these days.
It really is, and it's only going to get more impactful from here on out.
Okay, I'm ready for a peek into the future then. What trends and advancements are we seeing on the horizon for vector databases?
Okay, so one of the most exciting things is this idea of integrating vector databases with, you know what knowledge graphs are, right?
Knowledge graphs, remind me.
Think of them as maps of how different things relate to each other, like the Bank of England is located in London, or Volvo is a car manufacturer. It helps AI understand the connections between different pieces of information.
So it's not just about knowing facts, it's about understanding how those facts fit together. That's next level stuff.
It is, and by combining this with vector databases, we can build AI systems that are even smarter, even more insightful. They can actually reason, make inferences, see the big picture.
Wow, instead of just giving me a bunch of random facts about the Bank of England, it could actually understand its role in the UK economy, its connections to other banks globally, and so on.
Precisely. It's a huge leap forward in terms of AI's ability to actually understand the world.
That's pretty mind-blowing. Okay, so what else is cooking in the vector database future lab?
Another big trend is AI-driven optimization. Imagine, AI algorithms that can automatically fine-tune your vector database so it's always running at peak performance.
So, self-tuning AI. That sounds like a dream come true for anyone who's ever had to manage a database.
It would make things so much easier, especially as AI applications get more complex and more data intensive. This kind of automation is going to be essential.
Right. Because who wants to spend all their time fiddling with database settings when they could be building the next big thing?
Exactly. And then there's this idea. It's almost like a science fiction concept, but it's getting closer and closer. It's this idea of autonomous management for vector databases.
Hold on. AI managing AI. Didn't we just step into the Matrix?
It might sound futuristic, but the pieces are already in place. Imagine vector databases that can handle all the nitty-gritty tasks, indexing, updates, maintenance, all by themselves.
Whoa, so no more human intervention needed. What would database administrators even do?
It's not about replacing humans entirely. It's more about, automating the routine stuff and freeing up human experts to focus on the really challenging, the creative, the strategic aspects of AI development.
Okay, so working smarter, not harder. I like it. But with all this talk about AI taking over, are there any concerns about, I don't know, the ethical implications of all this?
That's a really important point. As vector databases get more powerful, especially when they're used for sensitive applications, we need to make sure they're being used responsibly and ethically.
So it's not just about building cool technology, it's about building technology that's aligned with our values and doesn't have, unintended consequences.
Exactly. We need to be mindful of data privacy, potential biases in the algorithms, and, the overall impact this will have on jobs and society as a whole.
Right, because the last thing we want is, even if it's really good at managing data, the last thing we want is AI running amok.
Absolutely. Ethical AI is essential, and it needs to be built into the very design of these systems from day one.
I couldn't agree more. Okay, so knowledge graphs, self-tuning AI, maybe even AI managing AI. What else is in the vector database crystal ball?
Well, our sources also give some predictions about the timeline for all of this. They're saying that by 2025, we'll probably see much deeper integration with AI frameworks, which will make it easier for more people to use vector databases.
So vector databases will become more, you know, plug and play, even for people who aren't hardcore AI experts.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. And then by 2026, the focus will shift towards scalability, being able to handle even larger data sets, more complex queries, you know, across multiple servers.
So it's about making sure these systems can keep up with the exponential growth of data, all the demands of those AI applications.
Precisely. And by 2027, that integration with knowledge graphs we talked about earlier, that's supposed to reach a whole new level of maturity.
So the idea of AI systems that can actually understand information and reason about it, that's not just a pipe dream. It's actually on the roadmap.
It is. And then by 2030, things get even more interesting. That's when AI-driven optimization and that autonomous management, those are expected to become the norm.
AI managing AI, taking care of all the complex stuff behind the scenes, that's both amazing and a little unsettling at the same time.
It is. It's a future full of possibilities. But like we said before, it's important to approach it with a healthy dose of caution and a lot of thoughtfulness.
Right. Because with great AI power comes great responsibility.
Exactly. And that responsibility falls on all of us, you know, whether we're building these systems, using them, or even just trying to understand their impact on the world.
Well said. Okay, so we've covered a lot of ground here. We've talked about the potential of vector databases, the challenges, the ethical considerations, all that good stuff.
And throughout all of this, we've seen how this technology is really shaping the future of AI and how it's going to impact our lives.
Absolutely. But before we wrap up this first part of our deep dive, I want to talk about the companies that are driving all of this innovation. You know, the big players, Google, AWS, and Microsoft.
Yeah, these tech giants are all making big moves in this space. They're integrating vector databases into their cloud platforms, their AI services. It's really becoming a core part of their offerings.
So it's not just a niche technology anymore. It's going mainstream.
It is, and I think that's a good thing. It's driving innovation, making it more accessible to a wider range of people and businesses.
Okay, so let's break it down by company. What's Google doing in the vector database world?
Well, Google's been a pioneer in AI research for a long time, and they're bringing that expertise to vector databases. They have this platform called Vertex AI. It's their, you know, their comprehensive AI platform, and it includes support for vector search, and it integrates really well with their large language models too.
So if you're already using Google Cloud for your AI projects, Vertex AI makes it super easy to, you know, tap into the power of vector databases.
Exactly. It's all integrated. It's designed to work together seamlessly. And they also have AlloyDB AI, which is basically a way to bring vector search to a more traditional database environment.
Oh, so you can stick with the tools you're familiar with and still benefit from all this new vector technology.
That's the idea. Google's approach is all about making these powerful tools accessible to a wider audience, whether you're a seasoned AI pro or just starting out.
That makes sense. Okay, over to Amazon Web Services. What are they up to in the world of vector databases?
So AWS, they're known for their massive cloud infrastructure, and they have this huge range of services. And they're making sure that vector databases are a key part of that ecosystem. Their focus is on integrating vector data stores with their existing database solutions, like Amazon Aurora.
Got it. So if you're already an AWS customer, they're making it super easy to just add these vector capabilities to your existing infrastructure.
That's right. Seamless integration, making it really easy for developers to use this technology within their existing workflows. And they're really pushing the message that vector data stores can make AI models, especially those large language models, way more accurate and reliable.
Yeah, we talked about those AI hallucinations earlier. It sounds like AWS is taking steps to make sure their vector database solutions can help prevent that, right?
Exactly. They're providing all the tools and services that developers need to build, deploy, and manage these vector-powered applications at scale, no problem.
Okay, and last but not least, what about Microsoft? What's their strategy when it comes to vector databases?
So Microsoft is another big player that's really embracing this technology. They've integrated vector capabilities into Azure Cosmos DB, which is their fully managed NoSQL database service.
Okay, so no matter which cloud provider you prefer, Google, AWS, or Microsoft, you've got options for getting started with vector databases.
That's right. And as these companies keep investing and innovating, we're going to see even more powerful and user-friendly solutions coming out all the time.
That's great news for anyone who wants to see AI reach its full potential. But before we get out of ourselves, let's take a break here.
Yeah, we'll be back in part two to explore some of the challenges and opportunities that lie ahead for vector databases, and we'll talk about what all of this means for you, our listeners.
Sounds good to me. Stay tuned for the next chapter in our vector database deep dive. We'll connect all the dots and leave you with some, hopefully, some food for thought. And we're back for part two of our vector database deep dive.
Still diving, still deep.
That's right. So last time we kind of laid the groundwork. We talked about what vector databases are, why they're becoming so essential in the AI world, especially with these large language models that, well, sometimes like to make things up a bit.
Right. Lots of potential there, but got to keep them grounded.
Exactly. And that's where vector databases come in. They provide that grounding, that factual accuracy. We talked about RAG too, retrieval augmented generation, remember? Combining the power of those language models with the solid foundation of vector databases.
Powerful combination.
It really is. Now, one of the things that really stuck with me from last time was this idea of integrating vector databases with knowledge graphs.
Oh, yeah, that's a fascinating one.
I mean, it's kind of mind-blowing to think that AI could, not only know facts, but actually understand how those facts relate to each other, like on a deeper level.
Exactly. It's not just about information retrieval anymore. It's about understanding context, relationships, meaning. It's like, imagine an AI that can actually reason, like a human.
Yeah, instead of just spitting out a bunch of facts about, I don't know, the Bank of England, it could actually understand the role it plays in the UK economy, its connections to other banks globally, all of that.
Precisely. It's about moving beyond just knowing stuff to actually understanding it.
But knowledge graph integration, I mean, that's going to be super complex, right? How realistic is that in the next few years?
It's definitely a challenge, no doubt. But the progress being made is really impressive. There are companies, research teams, all working on ways to integrate these technologies effectively.
So it's not just a pipe dream, it's actually happening.
It's happening, and the potential benefits are huge. Imagine AI systems that can, reason about complex scenarios, make better decisions, maybe even help us discover insights that we'd never even thought of before.
That's exciting stuff. Okay, so knowledge graph integration, definitely one to watch. Now, another trend we touched on was AI-driven optimization. Remember the idea of AI algorithms that can automatically tune and optimize the performance of vector databases.
Right, self-tuning AI for your databases,
Yeah.
essentially.
I mean, that sounds like a dream come true for anyone who's ever had to manage a database, all those tedious settings and configurations.
Oh yeah, it would simplify things tremendously, especially as AI applications get more demanding, more data intensive. That kind of automation will be key.
Right, because as we said before, who wants to spend all their time fiddling with databases when you could be out there building the next big thing?
Exactly. And speaking of pushing the boundaries, we also touched on this concept of autonomous management for vector databases, AI systems that can basically manage themselves.
Yeah, the AI managing AI thing still kind of blows my mind.
It's pretty wild, isn't it? But think about it, vector databases handling things like data indexing, updates, even maintenance, all without human intervention.
I mean, it sounds incredible, but also, what would database administrators even do in that world? Would they all be out of a job?
I don't think it's about replacing humans entirely, more like, shifting the focus. Automating those routine tasks so human experts can concentrate on the big picture stuff, the strategic thinking, the problem solving.
Okay, so working smarter, not harder. I like that.
Exactly. And as this technology keeps developing, we can expect to see even more sophisticated automation, AI systems that learn and adapt, optimize performance in real time, even anticipate potential issues before they become big problems.
That's pretty impressive. Okay, so we've got these amazing advancements on the horizon, but I'm sure there are some challenges, right? Some things we need to be aware of as we move forward with all of this.
Absolutely. One thing that our research highlighted is, well, cost. Implementing vector databases, especially at a large scale, can be quite expensive.
Yeah, no such thing as a free lunch, especially in the world of cutting-edge tech.
That's for sure. And the costs, they can vary depending on a lot of factors: the size of your data set, the complexity of your queries, the performance level you need. But generally speaking, vector databases tend to be more resource intensive compared to traditional databases.
It's a trade-off, performance versus cost, right?
It can be, yeah. But it's also important to consider the value that vector databases bring, the benefits they can offer, the enhanced AI capabilities. Those can often outweigh the initial investment, especially in the long run.
Right, so it's about looking at the big picture, the return on investment, not just the upfront costs.
Exactly. And I think as this technology becomes more widespread, we can expect to see those costs come down a bit too, as economies of scale kick in and competition increases.
Makes sense. So beyond cost, what other challenges should we be thinking about?
Well, one area that often gets overlooked is the need for a clear set of criteria for evaluating and selecting different solutions. You know, with so many vector database options popping up, it can be tough to know which one is right for you.
It's like trying to navigate a jungle without a map.
Right. It can feel that way sometimes. We need more standardized benchmarks, evaluation metrics, something to help businesses make informed decisions based on their specific needs and requirements.
I see what you mean. Without a clear way to compare different options, it's easy to get caught up in the hype and make the wrong choice.
Right. It's an area where the research community, the industry leaders, they need to come together and establish some best practices. And of course, we can't forget about the bigger picture. AI ethics, responsible development. As vector databases become more powerful, especially in sensitive applications, we need to be very careful about potential biases, data privacy concerns, and just the overall impact on society.
Like we said earlier, right, with great AI power comes great responsibility.
Absolutely. And that responsibility belongs to all of us, developers, businesses, policymakers, even everyday users of AI. We need to have open and honest conversations about these issues, work together to make sure AI is being used for good.
So it's not just about building cool tech. It's about building tech that benefits humanity, that aligns with our values.
Couldn't said it better myself. It's about making sure that as we venture further into this uncharted territory of AI, we're doing it thoughtfully, ethically, with our eyes wide open to the potential consequences.
Okay, we've covered a lot of ground here. The exciting potential of vector databases, the challenges, the ethical considerations, all of it.
And through it all, we've seen how this technology is really shaping the future of AI and how it's going to impact our lives in profound ways.
Absolutely. But before we get too philosophical, let's bring it back down to earth a bit. What are some of the key takeaways for our listeners, the people who are actually using or thinking about using vector databases in their work?
Well, I think one of the biggest takeaways is that this is a rapidly evolving field. Things are changing constantly. What's considered cutting edge today might be obsolete tomorrow. So it's crucial to stay informed, keep learning, keep up with the latest advancements.
So don't get complacent. Always be ready to adapt and evolve.
Exactly. Another key takeaway is that choosing the right vector database solution is essential. There's no one size fits all. You really need to think carefully about your specific needs, your budget, your long-term goals.
Do your research, compare different options, make sure the solution aligns with your overall AI strategy.
Right. And last but definitely not least, never underestimate the importance of ethical considerations. This is a powerful technology. It can be used for good or for bad. We all have responsibility to make sure it's being used in a way that benefits humanity.
So be mindful, be ethical, think about the consequences of your work.
Well put. Now, we've talked a lot about the future of vector databases, but we haven't really dug into the companies that are leading the charge. You know, the big players. Google, AWS, Microsoft, each one is approaching this technology in their own unique way.
That's a good point. It would be helpful to understand what each of these tech giants is doing in the vector database space, you know, for folks who are considering adopting this technology.
Absolutely. Let's dive into that in the next part of our deep dive. We'll explore what Google, AWS, and Microsoft are bringing to the table and see how their offerings stack up against each other.
Sounds good to me. Stay tuned for part three, where we'll unpack the strategies of these tech titans and see how their innovations are shaping the vector database landscape. Welcome back to the Deep Dive. We're in the final stretch of our exploration of vector databases.
That's right, time to wrap things up.
We've covered a lot of ground, what they are, why they matter, you know, all the exciting possibilities and advancements, and even some of the challenges and, you know, things we need to be thinking about carefully.
Yeah, those ethical considerations are huge.
Absolutely. And I'm really eager to get into those big tech companies that are making waves in this space. You mentioned Google, AWS, and Microsoft. They're all investing heavily in vector database technology, right?
They are. Each company has its own approach, of course, integrating vector databases into their cloud platforms and AI services in different ways.
So it's not just a standalone technology anymore. It's becoming a core part of the whole AI landscape, right?
Exactly. And for anyone who is, you know, thinking about using this technology, understanding these different approaches can really help them make the right choices for their needs.
Makes sense. Okay, so let's take them one by one. Starting with Google, what's their strategy when it comes to vector databases?
Well, you know, Google's been a leader in AI for a long time, right? And they're bringing that expertise to vector databases as well. They have this platform called Vertex AI, which is their comprehensive AI platform, and it includes support for vector search. It integrates seamlessly with their large language models.
So if you're already using Google Cloud for your AI projects, Vertex AI makes it pretty easy to start using vector databases, right?
It does. It's all integrated and designed to work together really smoothly. And they also have this other thing. It's called AlloyDB AI, which is basically a way to add vector search capabilities to a more traditional relational database environment.
Oh, okay. So even if you're not ready to go all in on a dedicated vector database, you can still start experimenting with the technology using tools that you're already familiar with.
That's the idea. Google's approach is all about making this powerful technology accessible to a wider audience, whether you're an experienced AI developer or just starting out.
That makes sense. Okay, so what about Amazon Web Services? What's their take on vector databases?
AWS, well, they're known for their massive cloud infrastructure and this, you know, vast range of services. And they're making sure that vector databases are a key part of that ecosystem. Their focus is on integrating vector data stores with their existing database solutions, like Amazon Aurora.
So if you're an AWS customer, they're making it pretty straightforward to just add those vector capabilities to your current setup, right?
Precisely, seamless integration. It's all about making it easy for developers to use this new technology within their existing workflows. And they're also really emphasizing the importance of vector data stores for making AI models more accurate, more reliable, especially those large language models that we've been talking about.
Right, the ones that can sometimes, you know, hallucinate a bit, make things up.
Exactly. And AWS is providing the tools and services that developers need to build, deploy, and manage these vector-powered applications at scale. It's all part of their strategy.
Okay, so last but not least, what about Microsoft? What are they doing in the vector database world?
Well, Microsoft is another big player that's really embracing this technology. They've integrated vector capabilities into Azure Cosmos DB, which is their fully managed NoSQL database service.
Got it. So no matter which cloud provider you prefer, Google, AWS, or Microsoft, you've got options for getting started with vector databases.
That's right. And as these companies continue to innovate and invest in this area, we're going to see some really exciting developments in the years to come, I'm sure of it.
I think so, too. This whole deep dive into vector databases has been fascinating, hasn't it? We started by understanding what they are, why they're so important now, especially with the rise of AI.
Yeah, it's really a game changer.
We explored how they work, how they're being used, and all those amazing advancements that are just around the corner, like the integration with knowledge graphs, and, you know, maybe even AI managing AI eventually. Who knows?
The future's full of possibilities, that's for sure.
We also talked about some of the challenges like cost and the need for clear valuation criteria, and of course the ethical considerations. Those are so important.
Absolutely. We need to be thoughtful and responsible as we develop and deploy this technology.
I think this deep dive has given our listeners a great overview of the world of vector databases and what they can do. What would you say is the key takeaway, the one thing you want people to remember from all of this?
For me, it's that vector databases are more than just a cool new technology. They're a fundamental building block of the future of AI, and they have the potential to transform so many aspects of our lives, but we need to approach it thoughtfully and carefully.
Well said. I think that's a perfect note to end on. Thanks for joining us on this deep dive into vector databases. It's been a pleasure exploring this fascinating topic with you.
The pleasure was all mine. And to all our listeners out there, keep learning, keep exploring, and let's build an amazing future together with AI.